You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Wisconsin college president shares his thoughts on how to discuss Donald Trump's candidacy with his students.
Right now, it's time for a weekly look at the latest from the campaign trail with Harry Enten from 538. This week, Senate Republican candidates are worried about the impact of low polling numbers for Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton's campaign is looking to lure Republicans, and both campaigns made stops in Wisconsin.
Harry Enten is a senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Big picture, Harry, what are the latest polls showing in this presidential race?
I mean, look, they're showing what they've shown for the last 2.5, 3 weeks since the Democratic National Convention finished, which is that Hillary Clinton has a lead nationally of probably somewhere between 6 and 8 percentage points. And when you translate that down to the Electoral College level, which is obviously where the playing field is in presidential elections in this country, she has a lead of greater than 9 percentage points or greater in the polls in enough states to reach 273 electoral votes, and all you need is 270 to win. So she's a heavy favorite right now.
And in terms of how significant that 9-point lead is, put it in context, how big is it?
I mean, if you look back over the past few cycles, it's pretty large. I mean, remember, obviously, last election cycle, we had a pretty close campaign in 2008 at this point. Barack Obama was leading, but only by about 3 to 4 points. George W. Bush was leading at this point in the 2004 election, but not by that much. You'd have to go all the way back to 1996 when Bill Clinton was able to win re-election over Bob Dole to have anything that was greater than the lead that Clinton has right now.
This has Republicans worried not just about the presidential race, but you write that a Senate candidate may be at risk because of Donald Trump's polling numbers. What are you seeing?
Well, what we essentially have seen over the past few cycles is we've seen an increasingly strong relationship between how people vote on the presidential level and how they vote on the Senate level. Used to be, say, 20 years ago, people were much more willing to split their tickets. That's not the case anymore. So if you look at the polls where they were in the Senate races, say, 3 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, or not even 3 weeks ago, we see that there has been movement away from the Republican candidates towards the Democratic candidates at about the same rate we've seen voters move from Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton, so that now Democratic Senate candidates lead in enough states so that if the election were held today, Democrats would be favored to take over the United States Senate.
How quickly do the polls move? I mean, you're seeing this now. We've got, you know, about 3 months or so till the election. So if there were to be a major swing in the other direction, is there enough time for that to happen?
I mean, there's enough time whereby, you know, we obviously run our models here. And if you look specifically just at the polls, we know that in the past, about this lead would hold about 90% of the time. But that's still 10% of the time it didn't. So that, for instance, if you go back to the 1980 campaign, at this point, Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter were about tied. Reagan ended up winning that election by about 10 percentage points. If you go back to 1976, Jimmy Carter held a double-digit lead over Gerald Ford, and the race got so tight by election day that Gerald Ford actually led in the final Gallup poll, even though Carter ultimately won by just a few points. So there is time for Trump to come back, but most candidates in Trump's position do not.
Well, one candidate in Trump's position is changing leadership in his campaign. Donald Trump's campaign announced this week two new leaders, different names than campaign manager, but one staffer coming from the conservative Breitbart news site. What do you make of that? A lot of people are saying there's a message here.
Well, I make of it a few things. Number one, you don't change campaign managers or whatever the heck he wants to call them unless you're losing, and so I think it's an acknowledgement that he's probably losing this campaign. I think the other thing that has become clear from this is that Donald Trump still believes he's running a primary campaign, and he wants to double down on what had worked during the primary in the hopes that it will work in the general election, but there's just no sign of that. And then finally, I'd note, look, I think Donald Trump realizes that this may be his last shot in the limelight, so he might as well go down with people who are telling him what he wants to hear, and what he wants to hear is probably what somebody at Breitbart is saying.
There has been not quite rising to the level of buzz, but there have been whispers about whether Donald Trump would drop out. It's too late for that now, isn't it?
I mean, he could. Look, the man can do whatever he wants to do in terms of he has free will. No one could stop him. No one could put a gun to his head. But if we're being realistic, it is too late insofar as that he is going to be the Republican nominee as he is right now. The rest of it, to me, sounds like a fantasy. But, you know what, this year I would acknowledge that pretty much anything can happen. So I don't put it past Trump, but it's likely not to happen.
Talking about the latest in presidential politics with Harry Enten from 538.com. One thing we've seen from the Republican Party, a lot of Republican officials, former electeds, other staffers, things like that, wrote a petition to the Republican National Committee saying, basically, let's cut bait, stop putting money into the Trump campaign, let's focus on Congress, the House, and the Senate. This is something we haven't seen very often, isn't it?
And not this early. I mean, in 96, there was the whole idea, we'll divert funds away from Bob Dole because he's down by double digits, and we'll try and hold the Senate and the House. But that didn't happen until late September, October. We're right now still in the middle of August. And so I think that there's a real recognition going on that you've seen the Senate numbers shift. We have seen some shifts in the National House generic ballot, though we haven't necessarily got an in-depth district-by-district polling. And so I think that there's a recognition from some Republicans that let's get off this train now, or let's at least try to fortify our Senate and House candidates to ensure that they are not infected with whatever it is that is bringing Donald Trump down.
We're talking to Harry Enten from 538.com, looking at the latest in presidential politics. And Harry, Hillary Clinton is looking to encourage Trump supporters, Republicans, to leave his camp and come over to her. She launched a new organization aimed at doing just that. Do you think it's going to be successful?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, most Republicans are going to vote for Donald Trump. However, if you look at the polls, you do see that at least about 20% of Republicans at this point are not saying that they're going to vote for Trump. Some polls have it as high as 30%. If you're trying to win an election in this country, you want to be able to appeal as many voters as possible. And I think if you're Hillary Clinton, you'd like as much of a mandate, or at least as much of a perceived mandate as possible. So to me, this is not a bad idea. Is it going to get that many voters? Maybe not, but I don't think that you do everything just because you know it's going to work. You do some things because you believe it might work, and it definitely won't harm you. And that's something Hillary Clinton's done very well by building a campaign apparatus that has allowed her to take advantage of Donald Trump's stumbles and has allowed her to build a field team in a number of swing states that has allowed her to gain a large advantage over Trump.
Speaking of swing states, Harry, we keep getting candidate visits. Tim Kaine was in Wisconsin yesterday raising money. Donald Trump, made another visit, actually three separate events in Wisconsin. We'll get into what Trump had to say in West Bend in just a bit. But the fact that we keep getting these visits from the campaigns here, polls show a big lead for Hillary Clinton. Does that just say how important Wisconsin is in the electoral college math for one or both of the campaigns?
I think, you know, there is an acknowledgement if you put together an electoral map right now of where Hillary Clinton holds large leads, Wisconsin is part of that. And if Wisconsin leaves that, then all of a sudden you can say, okay, if Trump were somehow to make a play in Wisconsin, then you add it with Florida and Ohio, then there's a real shot for Donald Trump. So I think that this is just being cautious on part of the Clinton campaign. They recognize that this is a state that they really should be winning. It's a state Democrats normally win. And I think Trump recognizes that if he really wants to be able to play to these white working class voters as he has claimed that he wants to, then there's no better starting place than Wisconsin.
And Tim Kaine was in Wisconsin yesterday, Donald Trump too, as we said. And we have a little bit of Donald Trump reaching out to African-American voters.
The Democratic Party has failed and betrayed the African-American community. Democratic crime policies, education policies, and economic policies have produced only more crime, more broken homes, and more poverty.
And that from yesterday, Donald Trump reaching out to African-American voters. I saw on Twitter yesterday, I think Newt Gingrich saying if this is a new tactic, a new vein of Trump developing this idea, reaching out to African-American voters, it could be big. What do you think? How is that working?
I think even Gingrich might have said that it was one of the most successful outreach programs any Republican has ever made to the African-American community, to which some people joked around, what about Lincoln? I mean, look, it's not a bad idea. Again, if you're running for president, you should reach out to as many voters as possible. But I don't think a speech like that necessarily works to reach out to the African-American community when you're giving it in a mostly white town or white city instead of in downtown Milwaukee, which is where most African-Americans in the state of Wisconsin live. So I get it, but I think in all honesty, what that speech is really geared towards is trying to appeal to some people, some white people, to assure them that he is not racist. I think that there's a lot of white folks who think that Donald Trump, there is somehow something prejudiced about him, and he wants to reassure them that he's not. And I think a message like that certainly doesn't hurt. It was one of his more elegant statements so far of the campaign. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt, but chances are Donald Trump is still only going to end up with 1 to maybe 5% of the African-American vote.
Yeah, you've written about polling and African-American voters in Donald Trump. And where is he coming in among the presidential candidates?
He is coming in fourth place. I you know, it's pretty amazing. Fourth place. He's behind Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein.
And by contrast, Hillary Clinton, how is she? Does she still have a big advantage there?
She has, I think, depending on which poll you look at, she's right now about in the mid-80s. Some polls have her a little bit higher. I think the average is about 85, 86%. That's a little worse than Barack Obama did. Perhaps that's not so surprising, but remember, we also have four candidates, two minor party candidates who are getting a greater share of the overall vote. So it's not so shocking that Clinton's running a little worse than Barack Obama did 4 and 8 years ago. But she still holds a massive lead, and that lead is certainly large enough to help her win the election if it holds.
Now, finally, Harry, as we wrap up, we understand via social media you're in the midst of an outreach effort of your own. Let's give a listen.
Because he's Wizkid Harry Enten. He's Wizkid Harry Enten. He's Wizkid Harry Enten. He's looking for a girlfriend.
So, Harry, you've gone on Twitter, we're embarrassing you here, looking for a girlfriend. Now, I know you're focusing on the New York City area. Could you make it work for a potential soulmate here in Wisconsin?
If it were the right one, sure, why not? I will say, at least in the past, I had one long-term relationship, and it didn't end up working out, so I'm a little sour on it. But, hey, if it works out, if there's someone great out there, there ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no river valley low enough, or however the song goes.
Why are you looking for a girlfriend now? Aren't you kind of busy, you know, with the election?
Hey, look, we all need romance in our lives.
All right.
Well, Harry, thank you so much, and good luck in that journey.
Thank you so much.
That's Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com.
Coming up after the news, the president of Ripon College joins us to talk about how he thinks professors should talk about the rise of Donald Trump with their students. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farrad. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.